read just for a few minutes to you something, and I just want to end with four little thoughts, and I'm just going to be a few minutes today. Father, thank you for everything you've already done. I pray, God, that in the next few moments, as your word comes forth, that you will do what no one else could ever do or say, God, but only by your Holy Spirit is revealed. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to just talk to you for a few minutes this morning about preparing for new. And in this season, I'm always contemplating. I'm always looking back. I'm always thinking about what's coming. I'm thanking God for what he's done. I'm thanking him for what he's doing right now. And I'm also thanking him in advance for what he is going to do. I'm setting some goals. I'm setting some priorities. New Year's resolutions are a waste. Don't do it. Engage God in a change in your life. Ask him to be a part of who you are and your future, because we don't need a resolution. We need a revolution in our lives. And that can only happen by the power of God's word in your life. And when that becomes a part of who you are, things begin to change, not from the outside in. See, the world would tell you, do this and make everything to make you look better. But you can look great on the outside, but be one ugly cuss on the inside. And God says, I want to change you from the inside out. Because when you get changed on the inside out, then you naturally, your outer looks greater. You look better all the way around, because you not only look better, you act better, you talk better, you're better to be around. People will love you more, and you will love you more because of who is inside of you, working in you. And for that to happen, we've got to make some decisions. You know, the older I get, the farther I go along in life, the more I realize that some of the things that I've done in my past, I can't carry them into my future. Because if you always do what you always done, you always what? Get what you always got. And to do the same thing over and over again and expect something different, that's just pure insanity. And so you got to make some changes. You got to make some moves. You got to make some progression forward. And that takes into account, maybe in some of your lives, you got to disconnect from some of the old crowd that you used to hang around with. And I tell this to people all the time. I don't hang around with the people that I used to hang around with. They were my friends, but they didn't have my best interest in mind. And so I had to disconnect from them. And I'm not saying that I'm better than them or I'm better than anyone. I'm not. But I know that they weren't going where I knew I had to go. And when you get there, those same people will kind of flock around behind you and say, oh, you don't hang around us no more. You're too good for us. No, that's not it. It's just you're not going where I'm going. You're not going on the trip that I'm going on. When I get up here and tell you that I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, I'm not just saying that because it sounds good. I'm telling you, we didn't have a hope, but we engaged in something bigger than ourselves. We engaged in the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when he's inside of you, he doesn't leave you the way you were. He changes you now from the inside out, and he makes all things brand new. Come on, are you listening to me today? And so if you're going to prepare for new, you got to release some of the old. You got to begin to move ahead. You got to begin to do some things. Jesus said, pray like this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes we think that if we can work on the outside, the things will change on the inside. And I'm not anti that. In fact, this month, we're going to talk about some things on the outside. We're going to talk about taking care of our finances, that God wants you to learn to be a good steward over what he has given you. I'm persuaded that people don't have a lack of resources. They have a lack of stewardship. And if you are a great steward over what God gives you, God will give you more. Amen, somebody on that. I'm also going to talk about our health. We got to take care of this temple that God has given us. He said, your body is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in this temple. And that means we've got to make some hard decisions on that. We can't do everything. Well, I don't eat like I used to eat. I don't even want to eat like I used to. But it had to come inside of me. Something had to change on the inside before the outside would connect with that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. God says, I want to not just improve you, I want to make you brand new. Paul says again in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And he says, behold, all things are newer. The NIV says a new life has become. Because God's not just in the restorative process. He's into making you brand new. Making you so the old things in your life don't have any effect on where you're going in your life. Amen today. Some of you got a trail of stuff behind you. And you carry it around like, what's that cartoon character? Snoopy? Who is that? What's the guy carrying that dirty old blanket? Who is it? Who? Linus? Who? Okay, whoever he is. He needs to get rid of that old blanket because everywhere you go, you carry that dirty, old, nasty, smelly thing around. And sometimes people are doing that thinking that somewhere or another that's going to make them and bring them comfort. It's not. Let go of that nasty old thing and let God change your insides. And when he does, something happens. Changing just the outside in, or we need to learn to let him change us from the inside out. Because if we just look on the outside, our inside doesn't catch up. Our focus can't just be on doing something different. It has to be on being someone different. And changing my activities will carry me into another level. But we've got to let God not just improve the old you, but let him make us into a new you. I'm telling you, there's no improving this old me. He had to make something new in my life. And the writer of Hebrews sets out on something to convey this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. I'm just going to be a couple minutes, so listen. He says, this is my covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. He says, I will put my laws inside of their heart. Look at that. And I will write them in their minds. No longer in the old covenant where we had laws carved out on stone. But now he says, I don't only want to tell you, I want to come and live inside of you. It's not something that you just read or look at. Now it becomes a part of who you are in the middle. And then it goes on to say, then he adds their sins and their lawless acts. Look at that. I will remember them no more. Oh, come on, are you happy about that today? Amen. If you can embrace that God says, I won't remember your sin or your lawless acts anymore. That means that he has brought you complete forgiveness because of what he did at the cross. And he does not even remember your sin or your past any longer. And if he doesn't, you don't need to either. Come on, you ought to praise him on that. He goes on to say, where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Do you know when Jesus went to the cross, he hung on Calvary, he shed his blood, he paid a penalty of sin that you and I have created and we committed willfully, knowingly. We knew what we were doing. We were blinded. The enemy thought he had us, but when Jesus went to the cross and he gave his life and shed his blood for you and I, he cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And when you say yes to Jesus, come into my life, he takes all of your past, your sin, your problems, your failures, your desires, all of that iniquitous nature, and he puts it under the blood that is dripping off that cross, and he says, I forgive you, I cleanse you, I make you brand new, and I take your sin, and I put it, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, and I remember it no more, and you and I shouldn't either. You shouldn't remember that anymore. And then he goes on to say, come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. He says in Hebrews, he says in 10:19, he says, therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore, you always want to look. Why is it therefore? He says, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51 says that when Christ died on the cross that day, in the temple of God, there was a veil that held people from the presence, the holiest of holies. And when Jesus hung on that cross that day and he died, he says, "It is finished." The Bible says that in that temple, the veil was rent. It was torn from top to bottom, no longer saying that you had to go through anybody to get to the presence of God. When Jesus hung on that cross with the curtain, that is his body, when he died, he opened up a new and a living way that you and I could now enter into that place, that holy place, and have that relationship, that covenant, one-on-one, touch God, hear his voice, have relationship, walk with him, talk with him every single day of our lives. We're no longer alienated from him. And then he goes on to say, so let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, and let us, I love these words, let us, it's the vegetable scriptures here. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised, he is faithful. Come on, somebody needs to hear that today. He'll change your inside. He'll cause you to be a brand new person. And he says, and let us, here it is again, consider how we may spur one another toward love and good works. And if you and I want real change in our lives, we must live our lives and make the decision that we don't just live our lives for us, we live it for others. It's not just me. I live to give my life, because when I give it, I find resources, I find life, I find joy. When I give of my life, I am satisfied. When I keep everything that I have in and just live a life to consume it all of myself, it gets boring after a while and nothing ever satisfies it. Then he says in verse 25, don't give up meeting together, as the habit of some are, but encourage one another. That word is again, encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So what can we gain out of this? What's four little thoughts? And then I'm going to close. Number one, am I worshiping God intimately? I'm telling you, we had some intimate worship here this morning. The word worship means to kiss God. It means to touch him, to kiss him. John 4:23 says, a time is coming and now it's come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. I want to encourage you, engage. And don't just wait till you come to church to do it. Engage before you come to church. Be a worshiper every day of your life. You should set some time apart in your schedule, in your time with God. Not only to do the regular things, but to worship him. To kiss the heart, the face of God. The second thing that scripture says is that we got to eat every day. You said, preacher, you just said we got to watch what we eat. We do. Joshua chapter 1:8. Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate upon it day and night. Then shall your ways be made prosperous. Then shall you have good success. Not once in a while, not just on Sundays, but we eat every day. We meditate upon this word day and night. Get yourself something that you can read. Get yourself something. I used to, when I was on the dairy farm, I used to wear bib overalls and I carried a little New Testament Bible right in my front pocket. Now I got my iPhone and it's got the Bible on it. Get something you can read the word every single day, and God will breathe life into you when you read his word. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Let's get into his word every day. Third thing, am I serving faithfully? Am I serving with a whole heart? This is big. This is important, because when you serve, you get much more than those who you are serving. You don't believe it? I challenge you. Next time you feel depressed or down, you just go somewhere where people got it worse than you and give to them. You'll come out of there with your shoulders back and your head up. And you'll say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't serve because we have to. We serve because we get to. Amen. Serve. Your life will be bigger when you serve. And it doesn't matter what it is. Maybe it's Adopt-A-Block. Maybe it's in a food pantry. Maybe it's in a clothing connection. Maybe it's in the ushers, the greeters. Maybe it's in the food pantry, driving a bus, a van, helping in the sound, the light, in worship. Something, but serve. Because when you serve, you grow bigger. You get better. And God blesses you more. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. You should serve. And every one of you got a gift. What is your gift? That's something that you should pray this week before 2014. God, what have you gifted me with? What can I give away to someone else? And lastly, am I connecting on a regular basis? Am I connecting? He says in verse 25, don't give up meeting together. Don't give up. Yeah, you can have church home. Sure you can. But you need one another, and one another needs you. Listen, I need you. The person you're sitting around today needs you more than the Buffalo Bills need you. I'm always shocked. I can't go there. Praise the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Clear my mind right now. Right now, God. Cleanse me. How many times do we go on in life, we find out that we get into a place where we can't deal with it. We find out, I got to have somebody. You need people in your life. I need people in my life. James 5:16 says, look at, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for one another. Why? So that you can be healed. Praise God. We need one another. Come on, do you believe God today to do something great in your life? Close your eyes, bow your heads with me. I want the prayer folk to come on down here this morning with me and stand up here if you need something before you leave today. Maybe God's working on your heart. Maybe something that was said today, or you saw something, you heard something. Just charge your heart. Maybe 2014 has been a catastrophic year in your life. Sometimes people say, whoo, man, I'm glad that one's over. I'm thankful even for the bad times. Open up your eyes. Look up here one more time. In the midst of the hardest moments of my life this year, when my wife called me, said, honey, they want me to come back for another test. Honey, they found a spot. Honey, they said it's cancerous. In the hardest times, Patty and I found the greatest grace that we ever knew God could ever give us. Don't discount the tough times and say, oh, because God is in the middle of those as well. He didn't create it, but he's come to help us through it. How many of you ever been helped out of a tough time? Let me see your hand today. Put your hand up again. Those who are in it right now, just look around. Look around. Those of you who are in a hard time right now, look around. Now close your eyes, bow your head. I'm going to close. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you need to do that before you leave. You can ask any one of these folks at the altar today, hey, pray for me. I want Christ in my heart. You'll never know the fullness of what he has given and what he's done for you unless you give him your life. Maybe today you're away from God. Maybe you're in a state you've just walked away from him, or you didn't walk away. All of a sudden you just found yourself, you're kind of lost. You're in a fog. Close out the year with him being a part of your life. Start a new year off fresh. Dads, moms, make the decision. Make the changes today. You're here today. Maybe you're bound with some kind of an addiction. Jesus, he has the power to set you free from that today. In the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're tempted in every way. No temptation hath overtaken you, such as common to man. And with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. He'll help you through it. He'll help you out of it today. I'm going to close in prayer. And if any of those things are a part of your life and you need him to touch your life today, when I say amen, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to come down. Let one of these great people here pray for you today and believe God with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the blood of Calvary. I thank you for shedding your blood and giving your life so the veil would be open from top to bottom. And we could enter in. And that, God, we could have that relationship with you. Today, God, I honor you. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in 2014, what you're going to do even today and the remainder of this week. And Lord, we thank you in advance. In 2015, we declare it will be the greatest year of our lives. We declare as we take these first steps in you that you are going to help us and lead us. God, even though we start out small, we're going to end up big. I declare it so over this house, over your people in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen. Amen. I love you. You need prayer. You come on down here today. I want to pray for you. I want to believe God with you today.